everybody. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 452. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and I am here alongside your friend and mine, Steve, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin, and we're here to talk about Android apps, Android hardware, and whatever else happens to come out of that brilliant mind of his. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing much better now. I didn't realize I haven't talked to you for basically a month.
Yes.
And since then, a lot of things have happened, including two deaths that I know of, two hospitalizations. Your wife was sick. I got moved in my job. And Eric isn't here.
So not much, really.
Not much at all.
This is a crazy time of year. Everything that's going to happen happens between October and January. I don't know why.
I believe it, too. And this is usually where I would try to change the subject a la Planes, Trains, and Automobiles by saying, how about them Cowboys? But I can't say that to you now because you'll go off for 15 minutes.
Yeah. For all you Fairweather fans who want on the bandwagon now. Now, if you weren't with me in the 1-15 season in 1990, you don't get to be on there now. Sorry.
Yeah. I'll just say a lot has changed since then.
That's true. Last week? I think so. My wife came home from work with 102.3 degree fever. And at that point, it was all hands on deck, mom's down, warning, mom's down. So she went to bed and stayed there for a while. And then I was mom and dad and everything. So I sent the guys a message and said, I'm out. And did you do a show last week? Or
no.
Yeah. So that's how it is. When I can't be here, you just can't do a show. No, that's not right. Nope. Things are back to normal now. Everything was good. It was just one of those bugs that knocks you on your butt for 48 hours and then you're fine. It was that kind of thing. So, frankly, I'd rather have those than like the flu or something that lingers for a long time.
And my mother-in-law had, I want to say, like 13 feet of her digestive tract taken out.
Wow.
Yeah. But she's over 60. I'll say that. I'm just going to say that. She's over 60. The doctor told her, you're going to be here for 5 to 7 days, but more than likely 7, if not more. In 4 days, she was out of the hospital. She's a beast.
You know, I read an interesting statistic a while back. If you took your intestines and stretched them out from end to end, you'd be dead.
That's a very true fact. So I'm going to preemptively supersede you and ask you if you have any hardware news, Mark.
I don't. I don't have any hardware news, but I bet you do.
I actually do. Surprise, I do. First, I'll say Black Friday is racist. Let's just stop calling it that. Cyber Monday is ageist, because that term really only means something to somebody if you're over like 45, because nothing is cyber anymore. So let's just get over that. I tried to purchase a new device, a phone, on Cyber Monday. Newegg.com had the Honor 8 from Huawei. Huawei's the same company that made the 6P.
Right.
Very mixed reviews on the 6P. The people that loved the hardware. The people that hated it. And a lot of people agree the software was horrible. I wanted the Honor 8, normally $399, on sale on Newegg for $265. I literally spent a combined probably 6 hours on Sunday, Monday, and I believe part of Tuesday, because the sale was still going on, trying to buy the damn thing, and I couldn't. I would add it to my cart, I would go to checkout, and it would say, cannot ship this item to Maryland. I have no idea why. Tried to call up Newegg 1-800 number. Half the time, I got a busy signal. The other half the time, it just rang off the hook. Tuesday at 10 p.m., they contacted me and said, oh, sorry, we're late with getting back with you. Is everything okay? Well, I can't buy this device. Here's what it is. A day later, oh, sorry, we're late getting back to you again. Do you still need help? I can't buy your device. A day later, well, can you go try to buy it now? No, it's now like $345. No, I'm not. So I went on Swappa, and in typical Swappa fashion, $265, mint condition, zero wrong with it, zero hassles, got it in my hands in less than 2 days. I don't know why I don't just go to Swappa.
Should have just done that in the first place.
Yeah. So I've had this phone for just about a week. I kill every battery. Even if this thing had a 5,000 milliamp battery, it wouldn't last a day. I leave tethering on for now 8 hours a day, and I use it. I now, no doubt, more than 50 gigs a month easily. We're not going to be hard on the battery. I will say this is the most advanced operating system for stats and features, which is an extreme double-edged sword. The people that, you know, some people don't want that. They just want the phone to work. Some people want features. One of the stupid things I think is really cool, the fingerprint reader on the back literally works in, like, almost faster than I can touch the button. Power and volume down takes a picture. Power and volume up records a movie.
Nice.
That's just an example of the advanced type features to it. Anytime you hit the power button, it basically does a cleanup of apps. So most people, if you get this phone, you're going to see really good battery life. I'll just tell you that right now. Like Voxer, if you don't open it up every couple minutes, literally, you won't get a message. Unless you make it a protected app, which is in the features and settings. Once you make it a protected app, it will stay open the whole time, period. Default launcher, horrible launcher, no app drawer, aka unusable for me. I hope to do some more reviews and videos on this thing, showing off some of the features, because I do think it's really nice, it's really cool. And for 260, really honestly hard to beat 265. Right now it's back up to around $300 on Swappa.
So what are the specs on it? It looks like a 5.5-inch screen.
5.2-inch screen. Not a Qualcomm, not a Snapdragon processor. It's a, I don't even know what the hell it is kind of thing. It's one of their processors. Quad-core, 4 gigs of RAM. The one I got was 32 gigs of internal storage. One of the most advanced cameras, everyone says, with the dual cameras. One of them does black and white. One of them does color, does some kind of compositing, making it together. One of the things I really like, fingerprint reader, tap it, and the it was up. It's also a button. Press it once. I have it going to Google now. Press and hold. I have it turning on the flashlight. Double tap it really quick, and it opens up Voxer for me.
Nice.
So I really like that being a button as well. Just a really feature-packed phone is what I'll say.
What phone is this again?
The Huawei Honor 8.
Honor 8.
The number 8.
My wife is due for a new phone. She's got the OnePlus One. It's getting a little long in the tooth, so sounds like it might be something to consider.
Yeah, and a buddy at work literally got the OnePlus One 3T, the brand newest of the newest of the newest. Mm-hmm. That was $400, $440 because he got the upgraded model. The only thing that this phone has clearly better than it is fingerprint placement. Back here on the back, very easy to get to. His fingerprint reader is down on the bottom, and it isn't a button. It's just a fingerprint reader. That's except for that, they're really similar-esque phones. Neither one is bad, I'll say that. Now, that's actually only half the hardware.
Uh-oh.
News, Mark. A listener, I don't know if they want me to say their names or not, shipped me the Asus Chromebook Flip. This is the Chromebook that literally flips all the way around, tablet as well, and Android apps. You can load the Android apps in them. The only thing I don't like is this, when you turn around to tablet form, it doesn't meet nice, and nor does it stick. It like wants to pop open. It's like floppy. A little bit small on the keyboard size, but it's definitely usable, definitely workable. Touchscreen works fantastic. I gotta say that, fantastic. Android apps work better than I expect them to. But they still don't work, you know, great. I'll say that. They sometimes randomly resize the window on their own. There is no manually resizing of a window. I like the fact that it has two notification areas. But, I mean, who wants a device with two? I mean, we barely tolerate one notification
area.
Two, to me, is, you know, could be nerve-wracking. But for the buck, because this is, I believe, is $200, I still think it's a really good price for it.
So we've got downstairs in the living room a Windows Vista machine that I've had since like 2007. It's old, and I've replaced the hard drive in it twice. The power supply is dying. It's just time to let it go. It's time to say goodbye. But it's such a rare use machine. We use it to print things. The kids do homework on it. It's the machine I don't care anything about, really. I've got my laptop. We've got a family laptop. But that's just the general purpose of, you know, game playing, whatever machine. And so I've been considering just chucking it entirely and replacing it with a Chromebook and just to see what happens. My concern with that is that my school requires, not recommends, requires that the students do a great deal of their work in Office Live 365. So they have, each kid has an account and they are required to do their homework in that app. And so they use that computer for that. And I don't think there's a way to do that on the Chromebook. But otherwise, I've really just been considering $200 and just throw it down there. And it, at that point, it's a disposable computer.
Well, I did hear you on the last Geek Rant about the Office. I know at my job now, we have Skype for Business, OneDrive, and Office 365. I'm guessing is what it's literally called.
Right.
Locally installed Outlook, Excel, PowerPoint, blah, 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 blah. But in the web interface, when we log in, we can get Word, Excel, everything. I can assure you, if it's the web-based thing, it actually works better in Chrome. We've tried it on IE8, IE9, Edge, Firefox, and Chrome. It works best in Chrome. We've been using it now for like 3 months at work. And I think it's only because Chrome is more standards compliant.
Yep. Even more than Edge, which, you know, they've really touted that, but
right.
Microsoft just can't help tweaking.
And that's the gist of it. Edge supposedly is getting better and keeps getting better and keeps getting better. Hopefully within like 10 months or so, it will be great. But I can tell you 99% of the things I open up at work in Edge don't work. Even Microsoft Knowledge Base, their their KB articles, I go to a KB page, I get a blank white screen. And that's, you know, Microsoft product going to Microsoft website. Makes any sense. I will say, also, don't forget, you have Chrome books, you have Chrome boxes, you have Chrome bases, and you have Chrome bits. Those are the four things you can pick from if you want to go Chrome OS.
Right. So the Chrome box would make the most sense. Plug it into the existing monitor, the existing keyboard, the existing mouse. They probably wouldn't know the difference. The benefit of a Chrome book is that you can take it with you if you want to. So, you know. Yeah. And like you said, that one there, that Asus is 249, I think.
I honestly think it's on sale now for 200.
Yeah.
And I'll say the only downside, the only true downside is, of course, because it's lower end, it has bad speakers. That's to be expected. But what I didn't expect was the power connector looks basically like micro USB, but it's square.
Interesting.
It's a box. I've never seen this plug before. Micro USB won't fit in it. Nothing else will fit in it. It's a weird square. It charges kind of fast, but that is really, really annoying.
I mean, if I were to go that route, I could buy each of my three daughters a Chromebook for about the cost of replacing that desktop PC downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I will say this. Right now on, oh man, I can't remember what country it was. I want to say it was Romania. It was like an official Romanian site. You can buy Google, I believe, what was it called? The Chromebook Pixels.
Mm-hmm.
Two, never opened, for $400.
Wow.
The gimmick is, with Chromebooks, you got to remember, from the initial release date, I believe it's the initial release date, not the last sell date, from the initial release date, 5 years, and that's all the updates you get. You won't get a day more worth of update. And so the Chromebook Pixel 2, I believe, is already 2 years old,
mm-hmm.
So you're only going to get 3 years worth of updates. And then you're, I'll just say, unprotected.
Right. All right. So let me jump in. We've been derelict in reading emails. And while you figure out the first app you want to bring to us, I'll read this email from Lucian, who says, hello, Android app addicts. In episode 449, you talked about Cloud Magic and their subscription of $50 a year. Please have a look at 9. It's a perfect replacement with all imaginable features. It sports almost every function of Office 365, email, calendar, tasks, contacts, categories, text formatting and emails, and a whole bunch of useful features. I switched from Cloud Magic to 9, and I just love it. It cost about $10 one shot, but it's worth 100 times that. Please let me know if you like it. Cheers, Lucian.
I can't use it.
Uh-oh.
Newton and did a half price sale Black Friday. So $25 a year. No, I'm not doing that. I tried that application and I can't use it because I need to have a rooted device just for my mental state. But then I need Exchange Security Bypass. I am not relinquishing an ounce of control of my device to somebody else, especially at my job, my personal device. So I need Exchange Security Bypass. I used Mailwise because it literally has built-in Exchange Security Bypass. When you start to add your Exchange account, top three buttons, click it, Exchange Security Bypass. They expect you then to go read the fact and get the code from the fact, type the code in, and voila, the device will not ask to become a system administrator. Trust me, 9 looked better. I'm not going to lie, but I need that Exchange Security Bypass.
So, all right, I'm not sure I followed all of that, but that's okay.
Well, anytime you connect your Android device to a Exchange server, it wants to be designated as a administrator on the device.
Right.
To give the Exchange administrator the ability to, its real intention is to wipe all the Exchange data and emails off of your phone if your phone gets lost or stolen. But unfortunately, because it's a system administrator, it can literally wipe your device.
Right. Got it. Okay. Now I follow you.
And I'm not giving that power to somebody who gets paid the lowest amount, the lowest bidder. You know what I mean? I'm just not doing that.
Yeah, I don't think that in my corporate IT environment, I would be allowed to do that.
Well, the beautiful thing is that they don't know.
So you just log in with your regular Outlook credentials?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Might be worth trying out. For $10, I mean, I've got enough Google Play credit from answering questions to try that.
Right. The only feature I quote-unquote needed in Mailwise, I needed the ability to turn off signatures, the auto-signature. I don't want it to say, sent by Mailwise. So I paid the $10. One-time fee, too, not a yearly fee.
All right. So, Dor, what is your first app of the week?
Okay. Since we're going to have a new executive commander-in-chief here soon in office, I figure this would be a good app to share. This is called 1600, and anyone with an education above, I don't know, 7th grade, hopefully, knows what that means. 1600 is the address of the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So this app tries to show you some of the things that happen inside of the White House. I thought it was a cool educational thing, because honestly, we all need a little bit more education about, you know, happenings, the goings-on.
All right. So just generally White House trivia?
Not really trivia, just the kinds of things that goes on at the White House, like, I almost can't remember now. Air Force One is the plane when it has the president in it, and the helicopter is...
Marine One.
Shows you, like, Marine One landing on the White House kind of thing. It's classified as an educational app, is what I'll say.
Okay, so it's an augmented reality thing. You point it at a dollar bill, okay.
Mm-hmm. And you can... look at the Oval Office. Where's the Oval Office placed inside the device? You know, just look at the White House. The only political commentary I'm forcing myself to into this show is, if anybody is overly worried about any president doing something, maybe the president has too much power, period. Regardless of who's in office. I'm just saying.
All right. I this is not the show to comment on that, so I won't. But I will say I was recently speaking with a Canadian friend of mine, and it's interesting to hear what the Canadian press is saying about our American process. You know, they don't know. They just know what they see on CNN, and it's no wonder that people aren't launching nukes at us already if what these people think is what everybody thinks.
Well, I'll say different parts of Canada, just like different parts of the U.S., and on average, though, the Canadians I know are more astute on the finer points of U.S. politics than Americans, because their entire economy runs off of us. How we were 2 years ago is how they are now.
Right.
So they're very, I don't want to say concerned, they're very aware of everything going on here.
All right. So while you're queuing up your next app, I will read an email from Todd, who points us to another app that it just came out. Well, at the time, he sent this about 3 weeks ago. It was brand new. It's a photo scan by Google Photos. It says, this app is apparently pretty new, only 1,000 to 5,000 downloads, haven't checked it out, it's a fresh install of a couple of minutes ago. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Keep up the great shows as always. My fellow listeners, support these guys and hit them up on Patreon. So I have used this app, essentially what Google Photo Scan does is it's a professional photographer's worst nightmare. It's designed to take a picture of a picture and get a good digital representation of that. So, you know, when you take a picture of, say, a glossy print, there's always going to be some glare and the angle's never going to be right. It's kind of like Cam Scanner is for scanned documents, but for photos. And I have used it on two occasions for two different photos and had vastly different results. One of them was absolutely terrible. The other one was as good as if I had taken the picture on the phone myself. So in my anecdotal experience, it's a 50-50 shot whether Photo Scan by Google Photos is going to do the trick.
Yeah, I'll say the only thing the professional photographer likes about it is its speed, because it isn't lightning fast, because you got to take multiple pictures. So if you have like full albums worth of stuff, I don't know if people are going to want to sit around and take the time to import all their pictures that way.
Yeah. And so he, when I've already forgotten his name, Sharks fan, sent us this. It was at 1,000 to 5,000 installs. Now it's at 1 million to 5 million. So it went out there quickly. It's clever the way it works. And I think this is probably a 20% time it's going to be used on something else. You take a picture of the overall picture, you frame it, then you take four more pictures. So it takes five pictures in total at different points along the photo. That's how it gets rid of the glare, because as you're moving the phone around, some shots have glare, some shots don't, and it puts it all together. And like I said, in the one that I did, the color was weird. It just didn't look right. It was, I guess I didn't have my phone, angled right. And it says, you know, not to worry about that. It should correct that. It didn't. It just looked askew. But then the other one that I took looked really, really good. So the idea here is if you've got an old, you know, family photo or high school yearbook photo or whatever, and you just think, I wish I had a digital picture of this, or I would like to send this to, you know, Auntie McGillicuddy. You can do that using Photo Scan. It's not going to be great. It's not going to be as good as having scanned a photo. But, you know, if you're just trying to stick a photo in a regular desktop scanner, that doesn't work well either, because there's always a big glare as the light shines across it. You really need a special tray insert for that, or you can take them to Walmart and they'll digitize the whole roll for like a buck. That's what I did. Took all my stuff and they gave me a CD back. But, you know, Google Scan, it's not going to be a high volume thing, but it's a good way to just archive some of those old decaying, literally decaying photos.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it's genius. It's going to be implemented in something else to be more important. But the only thing I'll say is this has the same flaw that a lot of other apps have, and that is each camera is different. So literally from phone to phone to phone to phone, your results might vary a little bit.
Right.
That's the only shortcoming with it, and that's something they can't control.
Okay. And what do you got next for us, Dor?
What I was going to bring next was... Yeah, I'm going to bring this one. Because sooner or later, it's going to have to happen. I'm going to have to get a 3D printer. It's just a question of when. And the one thing I got to tell everyone out there, if you do have a 3D printer or you're new to the 3D printer, the thing you have to look at is called Octopi or Octoprint. What it is basically a piece of software you can stick on a Raspberry Pi, then connect the Raspberry Pi to your 3D printer. All the Prusa i3 and all the normal 3D printers, you can easily connect this Octopi to. And what it is, it becomes basically a smart hub for your 3D printer. You can connect a camera to your Raspberry Pi with Octopi on it, point at your printer, and then anywhere in the world, you can remote into that and you can see the progress of the print. You can remotely from anywhere send it a file to print. If you don't have Octopi, you literally have to take an SD card into your computer, do this, do this, do this, do that, put it to your SD card, walk up to your printer, stick the SD card in, then on the printer, go through a manual menu of up, up, down, down, like your old printer menu, down, 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 enter, down, down, enter, down, 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 enter, to get to the file to do the print. With Octopi and Octoprint, it is so much easier. And what this is called Printoid for Octoprint Trial. This is basically a Raspberry Pi interface, but on your Android device. And it's honestly grown a lot. Two guys I know with 3D printers said this app used to be really buggy. Anytime you changed anything, it would cause the entire print to crash. But they literally, the last week, re-downloaded the app, And they said, oh, I take everything back. It's working now exactly as it should, as advertised, to where you can, on the fly, remotely from your Android device, change print speed, change fan speed, change heat settings, send a file to it to print, cancel a print. I mean, you can do a bunch of different stuff with this device, I'll say.
So I've been watching your explorations of the whole 3D printer thing. It's not something that has tickled my fancy yet, but I can see why it would be an interesting thing to play with. I feel that I'm going to get one of these things and get it all set up, spend about a day tweaking it and go, now what?
Yeah. The way I'll be honest, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, it was exactly like people who wanted the steering wheel and the force feedback controls and the vibrating chair and the pedals to where you drive and, right, you know, a more advanced experience. And you would go over that guy's house and almost laugh at him. Well, I guess you like it. It's a niche thing. 3D printers are right now in that same area, and so is VR. The question is, when do you want to get in? Is this actually going to broach that niche and become like almost everyone's going to have one in their house kind of thing, or not? I don't know. But I know for me, I need custom cases for my mini computers. And for instance, I have two LAC tables. I want to make a LAC rack. And I was thinking how to connect them. So it's, and I thought myself, you know, if I had a 3D printer, I could print these L brackets because they're plastic and not metal. You know, they won't interfere with my wireless adapters, and I could put them all there. And it's an endless loop of where I keep thinking I'm going to use the device, but I too am afraid I'm going to buy the device, set it up, print something, go, and then not turn it on again for 3 months.
So way back in my Tightwad Tech days, the first podcast I ever did, my co-host Sean and I discussed this technology back when it was just, you know, the kind of things that only expensive labs had. And I theorized then that there would be a time in the future where, like you pay now for a service to bring water to your house and a service to bring natural gas to your house, you would pay for a service to bring chemicals to your house. It would just be pumped to your house as a municipal service, and you would print out, you know, a la microwave style, whatever you needed. So every night when you sat down to dinner, you would print out a set of plates and forks and spoons to eat dinner on. And then when you were done, you would put them back in the recyclinator that would melt them back down and send them off to that service. I don't know that was ever realistic, but that's what it's going to take for this technology to be, you know, in the consumer world. It's going to have to be something that you can generate rapidly and dependably, something that people want on a regular basis. Right. If I could print a set of golf clubs, that would be something worth having. But most of 3D printers right now are very small. You're limited to like a 4-inch cube that you could do. I'm more excited about the future of 3D printing when we get down to printing atoms. And I have no reason to believe that we won't get there. But at some point, you'll be able to just harvest carbon and print whatever you want. That will be super cool. But at this point, you're making small plastic objects that, you know, if you need to rapid prototype an invention or something, that would be great. But otherwise, just not seeing it.
Well, it's all about, I don't want to sound like SpongeBob and say imagination. but I'll say, like, for instance, I know my one buddy literally prints custom case mounts for his phone for his car, to where he has it to where he basically just gets in his car, almost doesn't even look, and he can just put his phone right in the thing, and it works fine. Me, every time I put my phone in my mount, I got to lean in, hold the phone, put it in, and then squeeze with the other hand kind of thing. The only place I can see myself using it with any repetition is you make things like in the military, they have things called challenge coins. I'm just learning this like very recently. So what I can do is I can print Podnuts coins. And then when I go to conferences and stuff, hand them out as like, here's a unique thing you can only get at this conference from Podnuts. So I can do that kind of thing. That alone, I think I could justify having one because I go to so many conferences. I would like to give 100 of them out each conference.
All right. That's a good idea. I like that. But aren't they the home models anyway? Don't you get something that's pretty rough and ragged and it's not a smooth thing?
It all depends on the grade of the printer. And like, I just watched a really good video. If you cool it down a lot, because you have a hot end and a cold end, if you blow on it with fans enough, and also your printer shouldn't be just out in the open. It should be in an enclosure, in a box, with stable temperature in it, kind of thing. If you blow on the filament when it comes out as soon as possible, it will harden much better, and then you can get a very glossy finish and very sharp edges. If it stays warm for any length of time, those fans aren't right there, you'll literally see lines in your print,
right?
And it will literally sag and droop and not look good.
Well, that's what I've seen. Yeah. I remember reading the earliest model of this. It wasn't the extrusion builder like we have now. It was a vat of stuff that was hardened under a specific frequency of light.
Well, and they still have them.
Right.
Yeah, those are much more expensive right now. Those are the opposite. The ones I'm looking at is the roll of filament coming in through the top, melted down, and then spit down, right, basically. Those, you're in a pool of filament. The laser cooks right underneath it, and it moves it around, and the basic, what you're printing grows right out of that pool.
Yeah, you harden it, you dip it, you harden it, you dip it, you harden it, you dip it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, the quality of the printer, the best thing about these 3D printers, the quality of the printer is up to you. You can literally start with a $150 printer and then over time upgrade it to be equivalent to a $5,000 printer, but you only paid, you know, $1,000 for it, kind of thing.
All right. I'm enjoying watching you go down this excursion. I'm just not there with you, but that's all right. You didn't follow me down the drone alley, so that's all right.
Oh, well, I bought for $20 because you got to start cheap.
Exactly.
The controller had good basic functions, the guy said. It had a return home, auto level. When it goes out of the thing, it doesn't keep going in that direction. It comes down. For $20, the controller, in the middle of the controller, is the quadcopter.
I saw that. It
holds up. Yeah. No camera, no nothing. So I got two of them for the kids.
Cool stuff.
And they accidentally shipped me an extra one, which I guess I'm going to keep for myself.
And you called them immediately and said, hey, you made this mistake, right?
I told my wife I couldn't. They're in a different country.
And they don't have phones there, apparently.
And right. They don't exist yet.
All right. So while you're queuing up the next one, let me read another email. This comes from Scott, who says, hey, Dor, Mark, and Eric. Dor, you've mentioned $9 computers and other cheap computers on the show before. Is it possible you could send me links to purchase these computers? Feel free to use a proprietary Amazon link if it's available. Thanks, Scott. So, Scott, I will say that you're listening to the wrong show, man. He's got a whole show about this stuff. That's the Mini PC Podcast. Big talk, little machines.
Yeah. And here's like a for instance. Hey, yeah, I redid my phone. I don't have the AAA email on my phone yet. That's why I don't have this email. That's my excuse. But like, you've seen the NES Classic. And then like a couple days ago, an Indiegogo kicked off where it looks like a Sega Genesis, but it's silver, and it's a retro MAME console, like RetroPie with all the different consoles on it. The dirty secret is what's inside is a $12 mini computer from China called the Orange Pi Lite. So with a 3D printer, again, 3D printer, or you go to Thingiverse and pay like $8, you can get the case printed. You can buy this $12 Orange Pi Lite, slap it inside, and you have the exact same thing where this Indiegogo, I believe they're charging like $50 for this retro arcade machine where it, and it looks like a Sega Genesis, but it's silver and small.
The Retro Engine Sigma mini console and media player. Yep. $59.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous. It's a $12 Orange Pi Lite and literally a $3 case. I'll say, I don't know, $4 case. And if you follow my other show, Mini PC Show, you'll know these kinds of things. And the number of computers will not slow down. That's one of the only constant, I'll say, will not slow down.
Yeah, it's once you know how to do that, and we know how to do that now, everybody builds on the next guy. And that's what makes it super cool. All right, Dor, what's your next app for us?
This one I had to bring. I say this, I had to bring. Okay. And then this was brought to me by a listener, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who. It might have been Bill Miller. I can't say for sure, but this is a really cool app, I think. Unfortunately, it's a big battery drain, and unfortunately, you only get really good use out of it. If you always use turn-by-turn navigation, you're going to need to either have your turn-by-turn navigation audio turned on or literally have a second device, or have Android Audio Auto, because this will take over your screen kind of thing to make it really useful. It's called Nexar AI Dash Cam. It's still in an unreleased state. I had no problem with it on my OnePlus One. I had no problem with it on my Honor 8. What I do now is I put my OnePlus One in my glove box, turn on the Android Auto, turn tethering on my Honor 8. So I have my Honor 8 in the mount with this turned on, and I have my Android Auto with turn by turn on it right there. One of their selling features is it has to get the network effect to where a lot of people are on it, and it can like early warn you if enough people have this installed of accidents happening basically faster than Google, or severe braking happening in front of you kind of thing. But even without that, I think it's still a really good feature because it's a dash cam. If you look at take a look at the first screenshot, you can turn the mic on if you want to. It's up to you. You're seeing the camera on your screen the whole time. It's not recording, okay? When you tap the screen, it will count it as an incident, and it will record 40 seconds in the past. So if something happens and then you hit it, it will be recorded because it goes back in time, basically. There's a buffer it saves. So when you tap the screen, it records it. It also records on your the application the exact place it happened on the map. So if you're in a car accident or you see a car accident or whatever, you can now have video footage of it and a precise GPS location of it in the map. So I think that's really cool. So I've been using this pretty religiously here for about a week.
And apparently, if I'm reading this, I'm watching the video with the mute on, it communicates with other people using it, and so it can help them avoid the accident you just had, as well as confirm your side of the story.
Right. I encourage everyone, if you're at all interested with this, when you load the app the very first time, this video that you're seeing in the Play Store is what you're seeing on the device. But it's making, to me, it made more sense when I was sitting in my car watching this video. Even if you don't have the networked effect with people around you using the app, you still get the benefit of at least having a dash cam and being able to record what happens. On my OnePlus One, it was also recording the selfie cam, me driving. On my Honor 8, at least it hasn't, and I don't know if it's a setting or if it's me. I got to look into that.
So that could be bad, because if you're texting, there's no photographic proof of it.
And that's why I liked it.
Right.
Because it will help exonerate me if indeed I'm doing nothing wrong. If I'm doing nothing wrong.
So while we're on this subject, I want to appeal to the audience, because, Dory, you have a not only a big audience here, but a helpful audience. I want to go the other way with a camera in my car. I want to outfit my 2006 Dodge Ram pickup truck with a backup camera. And I'm looking to do that easily and inexpensively, but above all of that, geekily. Now, I know I can go buy something and I can drill holes and I can mount something, but I want to do this the geekiest way possible. So, guys, what do you got for me? I want to be able to put a camera on the license plate. So, you know, standard backup camera stuff. And if it's got the grid lines and all that, even better. But I want it to either use a phone or even better, my phone. But it needs to know when I'm in reverse and launch the app on the phone. So I've got the phone in my mount. And when I put the truck in reverse, I want the phone to get a signal to launch the app. This should be doable, right? So this is my task for the audience. What can I do out there for, I'm going to say, less than $200? Because, you know, there's some hardware involved. I'm going to have some sort of transmitter and all that. But what do you got, guys? I'm interested to see what you can do for me.
That's good, Mayor Mark. And I'll say my new car has a backup camera. I now can't live without a backup camera.
Yeah.
And it's only because once I see it on and I backed up for the first time and I got out of the car and I looked around, I now feel such a sense of security and safety when I'm backing up that I am exactly sure of everything, you know, because before I'm looking out the mirrors, okay, it looks good. But I really don't know. With the camera, there's absolution. I know.
Yeah, and now it's a law in the U.S. that all cars must have them, but I bought mine long before that, so I want to upgrade it. And I've done, you know, the Amazon searches, and I know there are lots of things out there, but I just want to find what you guys recommend, the open source Android geekified version of it. And if it would make, you know, a Star Trek communicator sound when I put the car in reverse, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
All right, Dor, what do you got next?
Okay, I'm actually going to bring this one, and I will not lie. I have not had time to dig in with this one. It did come with a suggestion from a friend of the show, Joel McLaughlin, from Tilt, the Linux Link Tech Show. I just got to say, I'm shocked at how good it looks. It's called Star Combat, and this is, again, unreleased. Sorry. The Nexstar dash cam was unreleased, which means it's basically like a beta. I don't know what the difference is between unreleased and beta, but whatever. I think it's the same thing. So this might crash on your phone. One person I know said yes, as soon as it launches, it crashes. But two other people, runs perfectly fine, no problem. This, to me, is one of those simply gorgeous games. There is a little bit of the stuff I don't like in games, shipbuilding, weapon upgrading, this upgrading, that upgrading kind of thing. I just want the action in the game. I love the fact that all of the text, at least in the video, is like Russian. I'm okay with that. Because it's like foreign, I'm in space, you know. It might as well be Russian. It just looks so damn good is all I got to say.
This looks like a PC game I used to play back in the day called Afterburner. Almost the exact same graphics, but not on a PC anymore. That's right. I'm blown away every time I see this. And yeah, I agree with you. I don't want to collect credits and then go put, you know, new engines or whatever. I don't like doing that. I don't want to do that. I just want to fly and blow stuff up. And it's fine if you have that in the game, but give me a mode, an arcade mode, where I can just fly and blow stuff up.
Well, or make it like unbelievably smooth and quick. And I'm okay with the game advising me right now you should upgrade this. So literally a stage ends, XXXXXXX, I'm back in another stage, and I did the two upgrades that it suggests me to do. I don't want to have to sit there and go drone through menus of, oh, maybe I should get this, or maybe I should get that, or maybe I should get this. No, I want to bang, 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 bang.
All right, it's got one review, 5 stars. So,
Yeah, that might have been Joel. I don't know.
It says it's got 100,000 to 500,000 installs, so a lot of people have installed it, but only one review.
Well, I do believe when an unreleased game or a beta game, every time the major version number, not the major, you have the major, the minor, and then the other. Every time the minor version number changes, they wipe the reviews. And they do it with full-blown apps, too. The example is Newton, the email app we talked about in the previous email, literally had 4.9. On their marking. They got sold out. They started publishing revisions to the app. So old revisions are old reviews are falling off. They're now down to like 3.5, and it's going to keep going down. Yeah. This just looks fun.
I just went back to my email here, and we have an email from Philip sent on October 21st. So this is a while back. He says, I just heard that Dor was looking for an exchange client that doesn't require admin privilege, and he recommends 9. He says, the reason I went with 9 was that it had the ability to prevent enforcing the exchange administrator settings. So, who knew?
I couldn't figure it out then.
Additionally, I've since installed the following exposed module to bypass the need for admin privileges on my phone. I've also since flashed several ROMs and restored apps with Titanium, so not sure if 9 still has admin rights from the original install. Doesn't look like it from the device administrator section in the settings. Anyway, 9 makes managing email accounts a little less painful. I agree with Dor in his opinion on Outlook. It also syncs your calendar to your phone. You can access the calendar from any calendar app installed. Sadly, it doesn't share the calendar with Google Now or Assistant, so I don't get travel reminders from my work account, but I don't think any other clients will do that either. As for the price, you can download it for free and use it for a week before it asks for a one-off in-app purchase for continued use. I think it was $10. You can buy volume licenses for your business. Topic number 2. You mentioned Chest in a last episode that got me to thinking of a game that has recently had a sequel published. That's Banner Saga, and some describe it as chess with Vikings. Oh, I'm in. It's hard to describe, but it has elements of an RPG where you have characters that you level up. Different characters have different abilities in combat, like chess turned... the chess-like turn-based, and there's also a long narrative, long narrative ion you know, long narrative in the game. There we go. Where you can make different decisions and change how the story turns out. I enjoyed it so much I played it through a second time initially after finishing it. I haven't gotten to the sequel yet, but I have some opinions, rewards set aside for it. Anyway, hope you find a good male email client. Battery 86%. Cheers, Phil. So that's Banner Saga and Banner Saga 2, and I'll post those links in the chat room so the door can put them in the notes later.
Okay. I'm going to check out 9 again because, to be honest, it looks a little bit better. And that's the one thing I liked about Cloud Magic was it had its own calendar. It didn't interfere with my calendar, my Google Calendar app. Every other email app puts it in my Google Calendar app, and I don't like that. Banner Saga. I know I've seen this before because of the icon. He said something like chess.
With Vikings.
With Vikings. I had to say that to myself again. Chess with Vikings.
A unique fantasy realm inspired by North mythology. Explore a grim world shaped by the legends of the Vikings. Uncover ancient lore and battle tooth and nail to carve out a new bastion in a world abandoned by the gods. Okay.
I hope the animation I'm seeing, where it looks like a cartoon, is actually in the game in like the cutscenes, because it looks spectacular.
It looks like a Dragon's Lair.
Yeah. And then the actual game footage looks, I mean, equally as good further back, you know, less zoomed in, but it still looks really good. Wow. This is really good. I know I've heard of it, but I evidently never clicked through to it. $4.99. And my brain is confused. I'm looking at the icon for it, and it looks like there's two big, huge, stone-looking cigar shapes emanating out of his forehead.
They're horns, like Hellboy-style horns.
But Viking we all horns. Know now that Vikings didn't have any horns on their helmets or anything.
Everybody in this game did, by golly.
Alrighty, okay. $5. I have to let my Google Play Google Opinion Rewards credit build back up, but okay.
Interesting. I'm watching the video of it. It's kind of like, what's that game where you clickety-clickety-clickety, and it was a big thing for a while, Devil something? Anyway, Diablo. It looks gameplay-wise kind of like that. I don't know. Chess with Vikings. How can you not try it?
And that's the thing. I agree. And if it looks anything like what I'm seeing in this movie, how can it be bad? I don't know.
There's like a cyborg guy in one of the pictures. I mean, it's a cyborg Viking. You had me at cyborg. I'm in.
And Viking.
All right. Well, thanks. I've already forgotten who it was. Phil. For your email on both counts, 9 and Chess with Vikings, Banner Saga.
Good stuff.
All right, that's the last of my emails, Dor. I have emptied my tank, so you empty yours.
Okay, I'm only going to... Well, I got too much. I can't empty it, Mark. I'll bring this, though. Again, because of its beauty, is what I'm going to say. This is called Gear Club, but if you look at the URL, it was obviously called GT Sprint, and then they changed the name. No movie in Google Play, which means it must be fan-diddly-tastic. Very simple, easy racer game. Good different types of controls. You got the tilt, you got the buttons, you know, you can do what you want to do. Completely free. Does have some in-app purchases. I didn't run across them. Just simple racing, satisfaction. That's what I'm looking for. Simple racing satisfaction. There is some kind of multiplayer that I did not even bother playing with, just because, you know, why would I want to challenge real people when AI is probably more competitive because it cheats all the time?
There is a video at the end of the description. It's on YouTube. They just didn't put it in
That puts the it down itself. A notch. Okay, so that takes the quality of the gameplay down a notch, obviously. Because video means, you know, it can't be as good. Oh, to the entire channel.
Wow. Lots of videos.
Yeah, Gear Club. Well, actually, that's a dirty secret. Click on videos on the left side. There's only 5 videos. And they're mostly like 30-second videos, which is really short.
Teasers, trailers. Yeah. All right. So that's why there's not a video, because there's not really a real video.
Yeah, just marketing videos is what I'll say. Lots of fun, though. That's what I will say. Lots of fun. Okay, let me take a quick... and I'm going to say this one only because of name recognition.
I'm sorry, before you move on, the gear club thing, what was the control? Was it tilt to steer or was it tap?
You could do either one.
Okay.
As soon as you launch, it basically started a tutorial mode where it asked you which one do you want.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty easy. Gear.club by Eden Games Racing. 9,000 plus reviews, 3.8 reviews. I don't know why, not more. People are crazy. This one I'm bringing because of name recognition. We have all have had to have heard of Rockstar Games. This is one of their, I think, less popular games, but to me, almost a more interesting concept. The game is Bully, and it's a Bully Anniversary Edition. So apparently this came out like 10 years ago, maybe? Let's almost stick with 10 years ago. We're basically, you're a bully, and, you know, you go around school and beat people up. Because it's Rockstar Games, you know, you can go and cause all kinds of chaos and all kinds of places, including like messing up the football game or going to learn boxing lessons.
This dude's about to go point blank range with a slingshot to the forehead. That's going to hurt.
You'll shoot your eye out. Yeah. I never played this game, but I know every Rockstar thing I've loaded on an Android device, I was pleasantly shocked and how well it ran. And this is, again, Rockstar Games, top developer, only 206 reviews, T for teen. I'm going to say not for young teens, at least older teens.
Well, maybe the reason it's only got 200 reviews is this app is incompatible with all your devices.
Yeah, brand new. Literally, if you look at the install count, it's between 1 and 5.
That's new.
Okay. Yeah.
Updated December 7th.
So it's basically brand new, just came out. It will become more compatible with more devices as time goes on. But again, not for young teens. Content rating: teen, violence, suggestive themes, language, and cruel humor, just to name a few. Yeah, not for the light of heart.
That's 10 apps, Dora. Let's stop there, unless there's just something you just had to do.
Let me just quickly go through and take a peek at the apps. And I will say, just for giggles, yes, I'm going to say one more. Just because, it's one of those games that overseas I think is really popular. It's the, lawyer games. There is a version of this right now in the Google Play Store called Objection. This I believe is more like the real one called Apollo Justice Ace A. A attorney by a developer I can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Again, 46 reviews, T for teens, $15.99 to buy. 4.7 average reviews, only between 100 and 500 installs, version 1.00.01. Brand spanking new. Again, teen, mild blood, suggestive themes, violent references. Ooh, by Capcom.co.jp. That's who the company is.
$16.
I'll say, if you're a fan of these Apollo Justice Ace Attorney games, something tells me you'll pay $30.
All right.
Objection.
Sorry. Update December 7th. You bring the new hotness every time, man.
Even if it's not free in G.
All right, one last thing, a bit of housekeeping. I want to thank Kathy Burke for your pledge to Patreon. Thank you, Kathy, for being one of the awesome people that keeps Dore in the high lifestyle of Mai Tais and Hula Girls that he has grown accustomed to. Actually, he probably took the money you gave him and went and bought something for somebody else, like a mini PC to give away. So anyway, thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, or like I bought my kid a... Reese's Peanut Butter Cup because he had a superstar day at school.
Nice.
Because he's usually the bad one.
We had one of those white elephant gift exchanges at a party recently, you know, where you go around and you can steal. And one of the gifts was 2 pounds, 2 1-pound Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Oh, God. and it was, yeah, I kind of had that response. It was like, that's either the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. I'm really not sure which.
If I was like 13, it would be the best thing ever. but I'm closer to 60. No, I can't. Ooh, no. Pretty sure I'd be in a coma.
A lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me run through the apps that we had there. So we had 9 Outlook for Android by 9 Folders, Inc. We had 1600 by White House Historical Association. We had Photo Scan by Google. We had PrintJoyed for Octoprint Trial by Anthony Street. We had Nexar AI Dash Cam by Nexar Incorporated. We had Star Combat by Dr. Spritz. We had Banner Saga by Versus Evil and Banner Saga 2 by Versus Evil. We had Gear Club by Eden Games, Bully Anniversary Edition by Rockstar Games, and Apollo Justice Ace Attorney by Japanese characters that I can't read. All you people that say we don't say them enough, there you go.
Yep.
All right. It's been a pleasure to be back with you after a long time away. Dorf, what are your final words of wisdom for our audience?
Well, it's for everybody, Mark, including you. I really want everyone to have a good holiday season. I really miss Eric, even though I talked to him last night doing the Mini PC show. I really want you guys to have a great holiday season. I want everybody who's in the Podnuts community, whether it's your first show you listen to or whether you've been around since Podnuts episode 1, I want to thank everyone for their support. This is the time of year I beg everybody. Make sure the people that you love and care about know that you love and care about them. Check in on them. Make sure everything's okay. Because it seems to me that this is the time of year when bad stuff can happen to good people.
This is true.
You know, dare I say, like Casey Kasem, instead of keep your feet on your ground and keep reaching for the stars, keep looking out for each other and love, peace, and hair grease or something. I don't know.
Yeah, this is the season when people think more about other people, and that's a good thing. So do that. Having said that, I'm going to beg once again for help from the audience. I need a developer geek out there. I know you're out there. I have been hobbled for years by the choice of mixer that I use for podcasting, the Alesis Multimix 8 USB. It's a great mixer. It's an inexpensive mixer, but it has issues. And right now, I'm recording on a Windows XP laptop that I've been using since 2010. Still running XP because there aren't drivers for anything newer. So what I need a geek to do is to compile the latest Audacity 2.x for me with ASIO drivers, ASIO. It's legal, perfectly legal to do that. Those are both free, but it's not legal to distribute that. So I will go download, I already have, the ASIO stuff and the Audacity source code. Therefore, I have purchased it myself. I just don't have the technical wherewithal. Actually, I do. I just don't want to spend the day to do it, frankly, to go and compile my own stuff. So if you're out there and you're on a Windows 7 64-bit machine, you just happen to have your Microsoft whatever compiler laying around, and you want for me and just send me a link on the down low, I promise not to tell anybody where I got it. Yeah, and it's so buggy and crashy, and the machine is old. The operating system is old, but there are no new drivers. I can't do it in Linux. I can't do it in Windows, anything newer. I just can't because they don't have drivers. So there's Windows 7 and Windows 10 and Windows 8 drivers, but they're all ASIO drivers, ASIO, and Audacity doesn't support that. So I don't want to learn a whole new thing. So there you go. What was it you said in a recent show? I'd have to learn, take all my wheel making expertise. I don't want to do that. All right, so there you go. We have begged you twice. I have begged you twice. I will beg you once again to go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and throw some money at this wonderful gentleman here. He not only does he deserve, frankly, he deserves to be paid for the hard work he puts in, but he's also the kind of guy who's going to take whatever you give him and give it away again. So you will be helping the community by helping the man behind the community. He won't say that, so I'll say it for him. Patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. Donate money. Do it now in the name of Christmas. And having said all that, we'll see you next week. Hopefully next week. We were gone longer than we thought we would be. But that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts podcast. See you, everybody.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.